Jaeger-Miller. I'm David Gura. We hope to meet you back here tomorrow. This is APM.
And coming up, the City and Borough of Juneau Assembly Meeting.
I'll call the regular meeting 2014-14 to order for April 28th at 7:05. Please rise for the flag salute. Ms. Becker.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Assembly members, I would like to change our rules a little bit as far as when we get to the three budget ordinances. I would like to put them, hear them as three, boom, 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 together. So we would do the title, the clerk would read the title of all three. Our manager would do the administrative report for all three. Then we would have public testimony on all three, and when we got through, you could move that ordinance to the Finance Committee, whoever wants to, individually. So we make sure we cover them as an individual move forward to the Finance Committee. Any objections to that? Okay. Roll call, please.
Ms. Becker?
Here.
Ms. Crane?
Here.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
Mr. Keel?
Here.
Mr. Nankervis?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Trull?
Here.
Mr. Wanamaker?
Present.
Mayor Sanford?
Here.
A quorum is present.
Thank you. Special order of business tonight is we have the Delta Airlines representative here, Mike Medeiros. Mike, if you would come up and give us a little bit of if you can get through.
I sort of stand out, huh?
No, we're just giving you a big welcome to Delta.
Hey, Delta.
So Mike is with Delta Airlines, and as all of you have heard, he's bringing his company to town, and we very much appreciate that. And Mike, few words.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Assembly members. Very much appreciate the invite to be here this evening. It's a pleasure to be back in Juneau after, I guess, about 18 years, almost 18 years from the time that we left. And I can tell you that as somebody that's been with Delta almost 26 years, I can remember the days when we flew to Juneau. And there was a really special relationship, I think, with Delta and the community here back then. And that's what we hope to be able to create again here as we re-enter this terrific market in Juneau and give some competition and provide you a choice, which I think what we've heard is something that you really want. So we're really excited about the re-entry. We will start service May 29th. We'll do so with one flight arrival in the evening and one departure the next morning. It'll be on a 757 aircraft, which is really, we think, the ideal aircraft for this market and just for the performance attributes of the aircraft itself and also the payload for both cargo and passengers. And so we're really excited about being able to provide you a world-class product, great customer service that Delta's really well known for. But more importantly, really being able to connect you to the world. Because one thing that you may not know is that we're creating a hub in Seattle. And the hub has a global aspect to it, which is we will fly to Europe. We already do. We fly to Asia. We fly to Latin America. We're up and down the West Coast throughout the U.S. And so what you've got in one stop in Seattle is really being able to fly virtually anywhere around the globe. With one stop in Seattle. And that's something different. That's something different for Juneau. It's something different for Seattle. And we're really, really excited about that. So I know that we're limited on time. We've got more pressing issues. Certainly the pool is a big one that I've just learned about. And so I want to not take up too much time, but I do want to say thank you very much for the hospitality from Patty and the team out at the airport. They've been terrific to work with. Let us know what we can do to help the community. And I think as a first start, I'd like to just help by saying, you know what, we'll do something on the pool. I'd like to offer a $10,000 donation to help keep the pool, if that helps. So with that, Mr. Mayor and Assembly members, I'm open to answering a few questions if the format allows, but if not, then I respectfully will turn it back to you.
It does. Thank you very much, and I'm sure we'll take you up on the $10,000. Assembly members, do you have questions for Mike?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, a little bit of decorum for the rest of the meeting. I don't want to hear any more clapping and cheering and hurrah. We all have your messages that you've given us, and we take it to heart, seriously. But to make this evening go by in a smooth manner, we need you not to be taking up a minute or two in between speakers on saying hurrah for you for saying what you say. Okay? Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Okay, and so we're going to give, we've got about 30 people to speak to us, and it's going. And I wanted to give them at least 2 minutes each, but that's going to be over our 20-minute time frame we have for public comment. Is that okay with the Assembly members? Seeing a nod of yes, we will do it that way. We'll move on down the order of a business here and approval of the minutes for April 7th, 2014, regular meeting 2014-11. Is there any corrections? Are there? Ms. Becker.
I just one. Page 16, Committee of the Whole, fifth line, 3 miles.
You'll get with us. Clerk and give her that afterwards. Sure. Okay. Is there any objections now to their adoption? Seeing none, so ordered as amended or as corrected.
I read those.
We seem to have lost our CBJ audio. We'll be back in a moment.
The Public Works and Facilities Committee reviewed and approved this request at its March 24, 2014 meeting and recommended forwarding to the full assembly for approval. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Your ears are sensitive, Madam Manager. You picked right up on that. So thank you, Madam Manager. Public comment. Is there anyone in the public who wishes to comment on this ordinance 2013-11AP? Seeing none, assembly action. Ms. Crane?
I move adoption of ordinance 2013-11AP and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. We'll move on to ordinance 2014-16. Madam Clerk, please read the title.
An ordinance amending the land use code relating to lands available for leasing.
There's another chair up front here if anybody wishes to move up front a little bit and clear the door. And, Madam Clerk, if I get ahead of you, please slow me down a little bit. Please.
You're fine.
Okay. I know you're fresh off of leave. Okay. Okay. Madam Manager, please, administrative report.
This ordinance would clear up an ambiguity in the CBJ code related to the leasing procedure used for CBJ property. CBJ 5320020 provides that no CBJ property may be leased unless the Assembly has declared the property to be available for leasing either by resolution or by identifying it in the land management plan unless the lease is specifically authorized by ordinance. CBJ 5309-260 allows for an exception to the general leasing procedure upon application by an interested person or business and final approval by the Assembly by ordinance. This ordinance clarifies that CBJ 5309-260 is an exception to the general leasing procedure codified in CBJ 5320. The Lands Committee unanimously adopted a motion supporting this code change at its March 24th meeting and recommended forwarding it to the full Assembly for approval. I recommend adoption of this ordinance.
Thank you, Madam Manager. We'll move now to public comment on Ordinance 2014-16. Is there anybody in the public wish to comment on this ordinance? Seeing none, public comment is closed. We'll move to Assembly action. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move the adoption of Ordinance 2014-16 and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? So ordered. We'll move on to Item C, Ordinance 2014-23. Madam Clerk, please read the title.
An ordinance approving the creation of Local Improvement District Number 60 to improve the roadways within Tanner Terrace Subdivision.
Thank you. Madam Manager, Admin.
This ordinance would create Local Improvement District Number 60 for the purpose of improving the roadway in Tanner Terrace Subdivision by replacing the gravel roadway with asphalt pavement, installing sidewalk, gutters, and curbs, and improving the water, sewer, and underground storm drainage system. Tanner Terrace Subdivision is located in Auk Bay and consists of Bayview, Seaview, and Cross Streets. The total cost of the project is estimated to be $1 million. $933,400 was appropriated in the FY14 Capital Improvement Project R72-065 Tanner's Terrace LID. The remaining $66,600 would come from assessments against the property to be benefited. The proposed assessment per lot is $3,700. An informal poll was conducted of the property owners in this proposed LID area. Out of a total of 15, 6 responses were received, 6 responses in favor with none opposed. Notices were published in the newspaper and sent to the residents in the LID area so they would be aware that this ordinance would be introduced on April 7th, 2014, and the public hearing would be held tonight. The notices informed property owners that they would have this opportunity to make their views known to the Assembly. At the public hearing, the Assembly shall hear objections from any owner affected by the formation of the district and may make changes in the proposed boundaries or in the plans for the proposed improvement. The Assembly may not change the boundaries of the district to include property not previously included without first giving new notice to owners in a manner and form and within the time provided in the original notice. I recommend adoption of this ordinance.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Is there anybody in the public who wishes to comment on Ordinance 2014-23?
I used to drive around.
Come on, come forward. To the mic here. Sit down at the table and give us your name and address, please, for the record.
My name is Zola Voy. I live 1669 Harbor Way is my address. And I just used to drive around, and I wonder how do you come up with the with paving this road when I used to drive in Douglas, and I remember them not having paved roads in Douglas. And isn't Douglas a lot older than this neighborhood that you're paving now? I could be wrong. I'm just like, where do you... Well, how do you decide to do what you do? I'm
so
just wondering.
The streets department does an analysis of the streets that we currently have, and they make a decision on what streets move forward. And then we talk with the neighborhood to make sure that there's support because they're paying a portion of this. So they have to pay. In this case, they'll be paying $3,700 per lot to have this improvement completed. And then we have to go through and fund it, and the Assembly approves that funding through a CIP process. In this case, the Capital Improvement Project, CIPs, were approved last year as part of the overall area-wide sales tax improvements.
So it was somebody in the neighborhood requested this upgrade? Is that how it comes on the table in the first place? I just wonder how you...
If I could get you to discuss it with the manager...
After the fact.
After this, okay. Thank you very much. I'm sorry. I don't want to squelch public comment at all, but it's beyond what we're doing here tonight. So And if you want to know that, we can answer those questions for you, how they pick and choose. Okay. Any other public wish to comment on this Tanner Terrace 2014-23? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Assembly action. Mr. Wanamaker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move assembly approval of ordinance 2014-23 and ask for unanimous consent.
Question. Mr. Keel, you have a question?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I guess a comment and a question. One of the other elements here, in addition to paving, would be the need for the water and sewer improvements under the roadbed. But the question was that one of the assessments on the list we have in the last page of our packet is I think, four times the standard amount. And I may just be forgetting something. Is that based on the number of units on the property, dwelling units on the property? I don't think it's square footage based. Can someone help me with why one of the LID assessments is so much larger? I think it's an exact.
Is it more lots?
Exact multiple of four.
Oh, they're larger.
All right. Come on down.
Mr. Mayor.
Watt, there you are.
Thank you. There is one property that is four legal lots that has multi-unit apartments on it, but for the purposes of taxation, the assessor assigns it fewer parcel code numbers. So we gave it the same assessment as everybody else, but it looks different because the taxation numbering system is not the same as the legal lot numbering.
Taxable parcels.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I remove my objection.
Thank you. Anybody else with an objection or a question? Thank you. We have a request for unanimous decision. So approved. Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Okay, we'll move on to Ordinance 2014-24, Ordinance 2014-25, and Ordinance 2014-26. We're going to hear these three combined so that we can let the public give their input on any one or all three as they so wish as we move forward. And then we'll vote individually at the end on each one of those three. Everybody up to snuff on that? It's a little bit different than how we normally do it, but we're trying to accommodate everybody. There are over 30 people signed up. So we are going to hold you strictly to the two-minute rule, and there's a light system there. When the lights change and when it's the end of your time to speak, the red light will come on, and I expect you to stop speaking and move, and we'll get the next person in the chair. Okay? We're going to be a little bit strict on it. We're usually not this strict on time, but there's a lot of you, and we want to let you each have your piece. Madam Clerk, you got that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ordinance 2014-24, an ordinance appropriating funds from the Treasury for fiscal year 15 city and borough operations. Ordinance 2014-25, an ordinance appropriating funds from the Treasury for fiscal year 15 school district operations. An ordinance 2014-26, an ordinance establishing the rate of levy for property taxes.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Madam Manager, administrative report.
Okay, so ordinance 2014-24, this ordinance would appropriate $307,406,400 for the CBJ FY15 operating budget, excluding the school district. It's necessary to appropriate all transfers between funds that support operations, debt service, and capital projects, as well as the associated expenditures within the funds themselves. These transfers account for $81,927,900 of the FY15 operating budget. Excluding the transfers in the school district, the CBJ FY15 operating budget, debt service, and capital projects is $215,478,500. The charter requires that a public meeting be held on the FY operating budget by May 1st and adoption by June 15th. The second ordinance, 2014-25, is for the school district, and this ordinance would appropriate to the school district an FY15 operating budget of $95,915,700. The FY15 school budget is supported with a combination of funding sources that include local funding of $24,904,400. This consists of $24,134,400 for general operations, $565,000 for student activities, $70,000 for pupil transportation, and $135,000 for community schools. The $24,134,400 in general operating support is the same level of funding as provided in FY14 and is $200,000 less than the maximum amount allowed under the State Education Foundation funding formula at the time this ordinance was written. State statute requires the Assembly to determine the total amount of local education funding support by providing to be provided and provide notification of support to the school board within 30 days of the school district's budget submittal, which you did last week. I recommend hearing public hearing on this and moving it to the Finance Committee for further review. The final one is the ordinance establishing the rate of the levy for property tax. This ordinance would establish the mill rates for property tax for 2014, which funds the CBJ, City and Borough of Juneau's FY15 operating budget. The charter requires the Assembly to adopt by ordinance the tax levies necessary to fund the budget before June 15th. The mill levies presented in this ordinance supports my FY15 proposed budget that is currently being reviewed by the Assembly Finance Committee. As part of the budget review process, the Assembly Finance Committee will review and recommend to the Assembly the final mill levies. The final mill levies must be adopted on or before June 15th. This ordinance proposes a total mill levy of 11.20. 9.7 of that is operational mill levy, and 1.5 is debt service.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Ms. Crane?
Just a quick question. In 2014-24, you said the total was $215,478,500, and the packet says 225.
My mistake.
Okay, just wanted to be sure that that was correct.
Okay, and so for the public's understanding of what we're doing and where we're going tonight, we're going to hear public input from you on the budget as proposed and as it is right now. And then we will refer it back to the Assembly Finance Committee for further uptake of all those items in those three ordinances. Anybody have any questions on that? We're not done with the budget tonight. It's a starting point, again, for the public to get their input. Come on up here and ask your question, ma'am.
How could you forget Augusta Brown in the first place?
I'm sorry, how, what?
I just have a question. How could you even imagine in your budgets to not have the pool in there in the first place? Thank it's you. Already there. It's been there for 40 years.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay.
I know I marched for it in 1966, so. Okay, we will move forward with public comments, and the first person will be Steve Brockman. Augustus Brown Pool, come on up and give your name and rank. And after that will be Mr. Bill Lady, who's got a swap here with Kathleen Spencer or Jensen.
Yes.
Okay.
Excuse me. Yes.
So you'll be after Mr. Brockman. Mr. Brockman, Mayor? If I can get your name and rank.
Great. I'm Steve Brockman. I'm the president of the Glacier Swim Club, president of the Board of Trustees. I appreciate the opportunity to speak here. The Glacier Swim Club now has over 250 members, ranging in age from 5 or 6 years old up to master swimmers in their 50s and perhaps older than that. We have been a longtime supporter of both pools. We've been in a partnership with GSC with CBJ for a long time. In the last few days, we do share the pool with a broad variety of other users, and in the last few days, we have talked to many of those users. We've collected over 800 signatures on a petition to keep the pool open. One of our swimmers, Annan, would like to present those to you now. While she does that, I have just a couple of points to make, and I'm speaking quickly because we do have this time limit, but honestly, we don't see how we can make this work with one pool sharing among all the users in this town that value the resources there. You probably have seen the letter that we sent earlier this month detailing some suggestions on ways to decrease costs and increase revenues. I'd like to leave you with the thought that perhaps the strongest strategy we see in there that's within you guys' swing zone, we would really like to see an empowered board to run both pools with a clear mission, charter to increase cost recovery and increase efficiencies at these pools. We're not asking for special favors for the club. This is a community asset. We are a supporter of them, and we support the other users of the pools, and we hope you can find a way to keep it open for us. That's all I have.
Thanks. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Mr. Lady? After Mr. Lady will be Mark Halstead, and then Wilma Kirkpatrick. Mr. Lady.
Bill Lady, 227 Gastineau. I'm a regular swimmer at the Augustus Brown Pool in the 6:30 shift. I'm passing around a pie chart, which I derived quickly from data that Ms. Watto had given me about the revenue and the costs of operating the pool. That's the matter before us, is the subsidy that we need to pick up. The revenue, I think, is understated. This is just the cost you're looking at here, probably because a lot of people bought their passes for the two pools by buying them at the other pool, and so it shows up in the other pool's revenue instead of the Augustus Brown pool. So the revenue might be a bit understated. In order to contemplate what we're thinking about here, we really have to have a grasp on the numbers, and that's why I did this pie chart. The total is $901,000. This is the fiscal year 14 projected actuals. You can see that the biggest items are management or salaries and benefits and energy for heat. I don't know what the cost control options are. I know we have an aquatics manager and a pool manager for each of the two pools. Is there an option for saving money somewhere in this big chunk of salaries and benefits? I paid $149 for my senior discounted pass, which is far below the value of swimming at that pool to me. I have underpaid. So I'm inviting all of us here to pay more to close the subsidy gap closer to what the value of swimming is to me. In the larger picture, I would suggest that we rescind the $3 million CBJ employee pay increases and a holiday on the senior tax sales tax exemption, which I also enjoy, and I would be glad to see that holidayed long enough to make up enough of the subsidy gap. So I invite all users here to reduce this subsidy gap to allow us to keep the pool open by paying more of the operating expenses, assuming that you, the management of the city, will do the best you can to control those expenses. And let us prove what we think the pool is really worth to us.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Mr. Halstead?
Mark Halstead, Douglas, Alaska. And this thing with the budget and the swimming pool goes a lot further than just the swimming pool. I listened to the warm and fuzzy, wants and needs speech that caught the media's attention there. And that prompted me to actually print the budget, which to me was a real mistake on my part, because all I see is just gross overspending. I get up every morning, I look out my window. Is it really necessary that we're dumping the garbage cans on Sandy Beach at 5 a.m.? Do the beach shelters need to be cleaned 7 days a week? We have a park ranger that I've never seen that is supposed to be enforcing the rules, and yet when we complain about anything, we're told to call the police department. He's being paid $40-some thousand a year, and I've never even seen him on the beach. You know, a lot of these practices have been brought forth from previous management under Ms. Kiefer. When she was head of Parks and Rec, she brought a lot of this in, but a lot of it needs to be cut back. And in doing so, you can raise revenues, and then maybe you can keep the swimming pool and some of the other facilities better maintained and keep them open for the general public. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Halstead. No clapping. If you're going to clap, I'm going to ask you to leave. We've got too much business to handle today. Thank you, Mr. Halstead. I appreciate it. Ms. Kirkpatrick. Good evening, ma'am. How are you?
Oh. Honesty. My name is Wilma Kirkpatrick, and I'm not here to solve the budget problem. I'm here to say why we need the pool. And it is the only public exercise in downtown Juneau. It's the only, Augustus Brown Pool is the only facility the city has provided for exercise for seniors, a must for children to learn to swim. The city has provided ball fields, soccer fields, ice rink, Eagle Crest, track field, which are great, but not for the elderly. So please don't take the one place we have in the downtown area to keep us all going. I might add, the city benefits from the seniors being well by volunteering all over town in many, many capacities. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Kirkpatrick. If any of you have any questions on the assembly for these individuals, you're going to have to holler it because I'm going to be keep moving along here, okay? Mr. Daniel Cornwall. And then we have Lorraine Palmer.
Good evening, and thank you very much to listening to us all. Daniel Cornwall, 900 First Street in Douglas. I've been a property owner since the year 2000, and I'm here to support the mill increase proposed in Ordinance 2014-26. We all have our different priorities here on the budget, and my personal ones are the pool to preserve the existing levels of service at the library and museum, and to preserve our existing bus service, and ideally maybe make it even better than it is. But I understand that things must be paid for, that, you know, we just can't demand things and not be willing to pay for them. So I'm grateful to the city manager for presenting a mill increase. And excuse me. And I would like to suggest that it be considered a floor, because even if this mill rate increase goes through, we still have to take all of the cuts that have been proposed in the budget. So I'd like, as you consider your deliberations, maybe even going above the city manager's request. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Ms. Palmer? Mr. Stevens will be after him, and then Mr. DeWitt.
Good evening. My name is Lorraine Palmer, 9349 Center Court. I'm here representing the Juneau Chamber of Commerce Government Affairs Committee. I'm co-chair. Along with me is Denny DeWitt, who's with First Things First, and Lance Stevens, who is also on the Chamber Government Affairs Committee. I'm hoping, because we have 400 members, that if they all had 2 minutes, we'd had 800 minutes, and I'm hoping possibly I would have just a little bit more time if the mayor indulged me. Or how closely are you sticking?
I'm sticking to
2 minutes. Okay. All right. Well, my comments will then be significantly decreased, and I will send in our written comments.
Thank you.
Just so I will cut to things very quickly, you have an ordinance before you to approve an operating budget of $307,406,000 for fiscal year 15 and 16. As we indicated in our March 26 letter, the Chamber opposes supporting this level of budget expenditure for the city. We are deeply concerned about the current $15 million deficit and what lies ahead in fiscal year 17 and 18 if strong measures are not taken to curb spending now. Last Friday, we sent a survey out to our members to get feedback from them on what they thought about the budget proposals and tax increases. We received 100 responses within 48 hours. Close to 20% of our membership responded quickly and emphatically, 2-1 against raising tax rates in Juneau. The main themes running through these comments were that the city needs to reduce its operating costs, prioritize services, reorganize departments to gain operational efficiencies, and establish long-term budget forecasting. Each of these items alone and collectively will help provide stability and confidence within the business community. To reiterate some of the things that we put in our letter, would be from March 26th, though. Refer that. Thank you.
Send us your letter.
Yes, sir.
We've already got most of it, I think. Mr. Steve, or whichever one wants to go.
Mayor Sanford and Assembly, thank you for the opportunity. My name is Lance Stevens. I'm the president-elect of the Chamber of Commerce and co-chair of the Government Affairs Committee. I'm talking tonight about the mill increase specifically. As a representative of the Government Affairs Committee, I'd like to state for the record that is a budget balancing strategy. The Juneau Chamber and its members are opposed to the proposed mill levy increase of 0.44 in the strongest possible terms. We believe that the CBJ is on an unsustainable financial path that requires serious reconsideration of what and how city government provides essential services to our community before raising taxes. As previously noted, Chamber members voted 2-1 against raising taxes. Because the mill levy is incorporated into the 15-16, it is crucial that you as city leaders take into consideration the total cost of doing business in Juneau and the financial pressures that are facing Juneau businesses and residents. It has been communicated that the mill levy increases an additional $44 per thousand. That's approximately $132,000 on a $300,000 home, which in a vacuum doesn't sound all that bad. However, it must be discussed in the context of cumulative effect of this increase, along with the recent assessment increase many homeowners and businesses experienced, increased in food and energy costs, and the proposed increase in water rates that will double over the next 10 years. The increase to most businesses will be far above $132. Our two largest property taxpayers, the Kensington and Greens Creek, will see increases well above $30,000 based on their current $1 million in property tax they currently pay. Not to mention that five of our top 10 property taxpayers also are the locations where we purchase our groceries. They're going to pass these increases on to the consumers, the taxpayers. Again, we're going to be paying twice.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens.
We have more. We'll send it in.
And Mr. Stevens, could you make sure that we get the
address?
The survey,
yes.
And the comments that went with the survey?
Mr. You bet. Chair? You can have all those pages.
Yes.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
I'm curious as to whether or not the chamber membership has looked at the fact that in order to close this budget gap, we may have to do a little bit of all of the above. And if the government costs and reductions are greater than the revenues that might be accrued from a mill levy. In other words, we're relying more on cuts than we are on a mill levy increase.
But what
would your response be?
Our analysis says that that's not what you're doing. You're taking more from reserves and more from an increase than you are in cuts. And so you're taking from what we've already saved, you're proposing to take more, but you're not taking away on the other side of the balance sheet. We need to reduce more and tax less.
You're responding to the manager's proposal. Our proposal may be something different.
Well, it may be something different, but I can't talk on what ifs. I mean,
no, but in that vein of if we were able to achieve far greater cuts, then
we would love to see that proposal.
But at the same time,
could you go through the chair, please?
Oh, okay. Sorry.
That's okay.
Sorry,
Mr. Earl.
But at the same time, had a mill levy increase, but the cuts far outweighed the mill levy revenues. What would your response be?
Mr. Stevens?
Mr. Mayor, we would, and Assembly, we would love to see your proposal. And until we see that proposal, the only one that we have to work with is the one that's been presented. And I can't comment on the what if.
Okay.
I'm not going to say it's okay to raise taxes before I see what you're going to cut. Because right now we're not cutting meaningful. To me, you're cutting the lowest paid group. You're closing a pool, reducing half of its workforce, shifting some of it over to the other pool, but that's not real reduction. That's just moving payroll. And what are we saving? We have the asset. We have to maintain it. What are we really saving? So I think that's a little bit that's not real reduction. And so I'd have to see what your proposal is. We hope you come up with something.
Thank you, Mr. Earl. Thank you, Mr. Stevens. Mr. DeWitt.
Thank you. I'm Denny DeWitt. I'm the executive director of First Things First Alaska Foundation.
We're advocates of economic and natural resource development. Our bias is that we improve the economy, and it will provide greater funding than tax increases, which stifle growth and productivity. We believe that the CBJ staffing needs to be looked at. Wages and benefits are the single largest expense for CBJ, and a key area where meaningful cost reductions can occur. We believe a 10% reduction in the CBJ staffing and cost is a starting point, but those reductions should happen within the framework of prioritizing CBJ services, streamlining and consolidating departments and functions. This recommendation is not made lightly, nor without full understanding of the impacts of the CBJ employees, many of whom are friends, family, and acquaintances. The recently negotiated contract is contributing significantly to budget deficits now and into the future. Wages and benefits must be addressed to put CBJ on a sustainable path. We suggest moving operating entities such as the pools and Treadwell to empowered boards. As it relates to the CPI list, the Assembly might consider postponing or ceasing new facility construction until facility repair and maintenance are adequately funded, and consider funding basic building maintenance out of an internal service fund approach. The Assembly has an opportunity to send a strong message to residents and businesses that growth and economic development are supported and will be pursued vigorously, or you will directly or indirectly send a message that escalates the economic downward cycle in Juneau. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. DeWitt. Mr. Storer and Ms. Hagevic, are both of you wanting to testify?
If I may, we'll come in under two.
Yes. Both of you?
I will.
Okay, that's better. Ms. Hagevic, if you want to go first, and then...
Actually, Mr. Storer is going to go first.
Okay.
We have a plan.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, I'm Bob Storer. I'm the chair of the Aquatic Facility Advisor Board. I'll call it the Aquatic Board in the future now. In the interest of brevity, we plan on keeping it very quickly. You got a prior letter from the board supporting the concept of keeping the Augustus Brown Pool open. We had a subsequent board meeting. We entertained 20 members from the public, all supporting keeping the pool open. But we did pass two further motions on at that meeting, and Rosemary will take the first one. I'll take the second.
Thank you very much, Mr. Storer. Mr. Mayor, for the record, my name is Rosemary Hagevig. I'm P.O. Box 240423 Douglas. I'm here to talk about our request to the Assembly to move expeditiously to work with the Office of the Attorney to see what can be done to implement the empowered board. We think that my previous experience working with CBJ with the enterprise boards and the other empowered boards is that great things have happened, and I think we have some excellent models to work from, and I think we've got no place to go but up here. And both Bob and I have served on this advisory board since inception, and I think the time for an empowered board has come, and I believe that we could make some really good things happen. So I urge your support.
The second motion was we asked when entertaining cuts that the lowest number, lowest impact on patrons, and if be kind enough to run it past the Aquatic Board just to get our advice before they finalize. And what I will do is I'll send draft minutes tomorrow of that meeting so you can see it in its entirety. I'd like to close on a personal note. I don't want to get lost in the discussion. I don't use the diamond pool, but my observation is that the staff at Augustus Brown are absolutely terrific. They're friendly, and they're professional, and they're a real asset to the city. Thank you.
All right. Thank you both.
Thank you very much.
We have Mr. Carroll. Ms. Jennifer Ward is after Mr. Carroll.
Thank you. My name is Jim Carroll. It's nice to follow. I follow the dynamic duo over here getting up. I've lived in Juneau. I'll be 48 years this fall. I live at 2020 Old Glacier Highway. For 17 years, I lived right across from the high school. They were building the pool there the summer of 72. I had five children. They all used it. Four of them were on the swim team. My daughter, who's sitting here tonight, I see, swim in high school and off into college. I think the pool is a very good place. for senior citizens now that I've reached that age. Now, I'm only going to speak for myself because I could get in trouble with the senior citizens over there. I would be willing, it's a great deal for about $150 a year. I'd be willing to pay more. Now, how much may be another question, but I do think it's a great place. It's one of the few public facilities that's open about 340 days a year, more than City Hall, the police department and fire. We need them all the time, of course. But those facilities only close for about 2 weeks and about a week and a half for maintenance. I hope you can find a way to keep the pool going. It's a nice place, and in the sauna bath, by the way, we do solve a lot of problems over there. We're glad to help you out.
Oh, Mr. Carroll. Thank you very much. Ms. Ward?
Thank you. I'm Jennifer Ward. I live on St. Anne's Avenue in Douglas, and I'm here to talk in support of the Augustus Brown Pool. I have a 7-year-old daughter. I've been taking her there ever since she was an infant. It's the very first pool she ever was in, and she's learned to swim there thanks to Miss Patty and the wonderful staff at Augustus Brown Pool. And it's a necessity for our children here in Juneau to learn how to swim. I'm not sure I would have been there as many Saturday mornings early in the morning or any time during the week if I had had to drive out to the valley to bring her to lessons. I'd be willing to pay more, and I also thought that was interesting, the comments about building a empowered board for both the pools. So I think you should definitely consider that, consider those options, and like I said, I'd be willing to pay more for the wonderful asset of the pool. So, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ward. We'll move on to Karen Laufer, and then I don't know whether it's Vicki or Vic Wilcox.
Hello, Mr. Mayor and Assembly members. My name is Karen Laufer. I'm at 2765 John Street in Juneau, and I am speaking today on behalf of the Juneau Special Olympians. Our athletes have to contend and vie for space against all different groups, and the pool is no exception. We still have a hard time scheduling pool time for our athletes, even with two pools. So we are in full support of keeping the pool here. It is, one, accessible by public transportation, and two, it does allow our athletes to provide them with time so that they can train. And thirdly, the problem is right now with most of our programs is they're only as big as what we can allow facilities to be. And, of course, we would always like to provide additional services, but at such time, we're very limited with that. There is a group of individuals in this town who feel that they don't have a voice or that these certain opportunities are not an option. And I'm here to advocate for those who feel they don't have that voice. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Ms. Wilcox, could I get whoever's standing by the two doors, if you just open those first two doors and lock them open, that might give us a little bit more.
They won't lock. Due to fire code, they're not allowed to lock open.
Is there a something there to hold them open?
No.
Okay. Well, they found the garbage.
Their bodies can stand.
Thank you very much. They improvised. Ms. Wilcox?
My name is Vicki Lynn Wilcox. I live at 3185 Pioneer here in Juneau. I'm also a board member of the Glacier Swim Club and a community member. I just want to present to the Assembly that Glacier Swim Club is more than a sports club, but it represents our families here in Juneau. And using the pool, having it not be there available would limit, even though the Glacier Swim Club, but also would also limit other community users here that live in the downtown and Mountainside estates. I would like you to consider if we were unable to use this pool. And if we do know, public school is very focused on after school activities, and this is widely used in with the middle schools and the elementary age students. They, instead of having to be bused or have their parents, if they have both parents working with other parents for a carpool, they can walk to the Augustus Brown Pool to have their after-school community activity, or ride the school bus and be dropped off, as a lot of DZ students do. I would also would like to advocate that, and as you heard from several other people, is to really consider the empowered board that is similar, that is being used by Eagle Crest. Eagle Crest has been able to have a cost increase in their revenues by using this program, and I feel we can also do this with Augustus Brown Pool, and we can save a community access.
Thank you. Ms. Wilcox. Our next person is Dan Wayne, I think it is. And after Mr. Wayne is Greg Fisk. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. My name is Dan Wayne. I live at 3220 Douglas Highway over in West Juneau. I hear a lot of talk about the pool as if it's a something that should be operating at a break-even or on a profit basis. And I don't agree with that. I think that it's more close in line with an essential service. And I think it's the kind of service that the and facility that the government should provide and pay for. And it's done that really well for a long time. And I don't think it should be considered a low-hanging fruit to be picked off and to solve a budget gap problem in the way that's been discussed. I have called around and talked to some people at the state and federal government, and I learned that we have more drowning deaths in Alaska than Hawaii, and I was pretty surprised by that statistic. And the Juneau death from drowning rate is the second highest cause of accidental death in Juneau, drowning and boating accidents and so forth. So it is important to our survival and to our health. And obviously you've got to find some money somewhere, and I'm one of those people that would probably be willing to pay a little more. Certainly I could handle $132 a year in property taxes, and maybe a little more at the pool, but there's maybe some people who can't. And I think that you should be looking more at raising revenues from people who can pay. Right now we have a single sales tax exemption that's been on the books since the 90s. It hasn't been reviewed or since then, apparently, that allows anybody who's purchasing anything over $7,500 an exemption on anything over that amount. And that's just one of the areas that I found in just looking around a couple hours at the CPJ website.
Thank you, sir. And just for your information, we reviewed all those exemptions. I think it was 2006? 2009. Okay, thank you.
Can I ask if the $7,500 cap was raised at that time? Because it's been there since the 90s.
It stayed the same, but it was looked at.
Okay, it was looked at. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Fisk?
Greg Fisk, 421 Kennedy Street. I'm a pool user, but I just wanted to comment on one specific thing. I sent you a letter of analysis regarding how allocation of school district in kind was done, and it makes a real difference on how the two pools look. Basically, the school district, they don't pay for it. They don't actually pay real dollars, but there's an allocation of $320,000 for the pools. The usage of the pools is about the same in terms of school board hours, almost exactly 50-50, but 72% of the in kind goes to Diamond Park, and only about 28% goes to Augustus Brown. That's based on the cost of operating the pools, as if they were renting it to the school district. Diamond Park Pool costs four times as much per hour to operate as Augustus Brown. I'm sure you've probably heard that. The net result, however, is that if people are looking at cost recovery as an analysis point on these pools, It's really a lot different if you add, if you took that in kind and distributed it based on hours of use per pool. So I think you need to bear that in mind. And if anybody has any questions on that analysis.
Thank you, Mr. Fisk. Did everybody get that analysis? I think it was.
Thank you for providing it.
Thank you. And are you the Downtown Business Association next?
I guess I am because nobody else appeared.
You have a minute.
Downtown Business Association also submitted a letter, and DBA's concern is for economic development here, not just the more or less feel-good attitude that's been expressed, which we support. But we're concerned that as we're trying to keep downtown vital and revitalize it, one of the things we need to do is attract more residents. A pool amenity is a real important thing for real estate developers who want to look at putting in the major type of housing developments we need to help solve our housing crisis. So we think that you need to keep that in mind and not gut essential amenities like this, which are really a basis of economic development.
Thank you, Mr. Fisk. Next is Adelaide Johnson and then Ms. Dixie Hood.
Adelaide's not here.
Okay. Ms. Hood? Good evening, Ms. Hood.
Good evening. My name is Dixie Hood. I live at 9350 View Drive. And I'm glad that there's an opportunity for the public to speak to these issues. I think that Juneau has a remarkable quality of life and that this is a crucial thing to be considered. I support education funding to the cap. I think that's critical not to cut back on that. And the state government did not really do that good a job in helping. And I think that education also includes supporting the New Valley Library. That is a facility that's tied in many ways with education and shouldn't be cut back on. I think that the expansion of the Capital Transit plan to include inexpensive and needed holiday service equivalents to weekday service, seniors, persons with disabilities, and employees of local businesses need this service now, not in 3 to 5 years down the road. Healthy recreational opportunities, including the Augustus Brown Pool, bicycle paths, hiking trails, and maintaining sufficient parks and recreation staff to oversee programs and developments. In terms of revenues, I think that the increased property tax is appropriate and it should be larger. I think that for the proposed mill rate that would apparently increase $132 per year on a $300,000 property is little more than $10 a month. And that could be doubled, and it wouldn't be a hardship for anyone. I think that pursuing
Thank you, Ms. Hood.
Delinquent action on sales tax collection is a good thing to be continuing as well.
Thank you very much, Ms. Hood. Thank you. James Wyckoff. And then we have Jim Ostessa Whiskey. Is that close?
Nope.
You can correct me when you get up. Thank you, Jim.
Yes, I'm James Wyckoff, live at 1600 Harbor Way, been a pharmacist here in Juneau for over 30 years. Almost everything's been said, so I'll keep it brief. I did want to remind you of, from a pharmacological point of view, the community health benefits of the Augustus Brown Pool are incredible.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Jim. If you could correct me, I would much appreciate it. After Jim, we'll have Mars Graham.
It's Jim Ustashevsky. I live at 10757 Horizon Drive in North Douglas, which is about 17 miles from the Valley Pool. And I try to swim now about 4 to 6 times a week. So that's a long drive. And I'm aware that there are a lot of people in this room that can't go anywhere near that far. I can drive that far. And I, like others, could pay more. I am a member of GSC, and most of that swimming I do is with GSC. I also pay for an annual pool pass, which adds a little bit more to it. And I just did the numbers actually per month, and it comes out to pretty close to one of the nicer health clubs here in town. So it's not cheap with the GSC fees, but it's well worth it to me because I equate swimming with fitness, with my health. And so you can't really put a dollar figure on that at some level. I started 3 years ago learning how to swim, really. And so actually it equates to survival for me in a way. I started doing triathlons, and I thought I knew how to swim, and I did not. That's swimming followed by biking and running. And you will see people running in this community into their 70s and 60s, certainly. And you'll see people on bicycles and maybe even competing in bike races into their 60s and 70s, but you won't see them like you will at the pool into their 80s and 90s. So really, the pool is for health for everybody.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Thank you. Mr. Graham?
Yes.
Oh, miss. Sorry.
And I have bad penmanship. My name is Mary Graham. I live at 1890 Glacier Avenue. And I, too, in the last 3 years since I retired, took up swimming, and it has made me a lot healthy. And dovetailing off what this gentleman just said, it's a 20-mile round trip from downtown to Diamond Park Pool. I swim 4 to 5 days a week. That would add to my cost $100 a month extra in gas. I don't make that many trips out to the valley for that. So as some other people had said, I'd be willing to pay more. I'd get a yearly pass to Augustus Brown Pool, but also like the gentleman from the Downtown Business Association said, it's also about quality of life in downtown. And if you want to develop the Willoughby District and you want people to come back downtown, closing the pool is not a way to make life in downtown more desirable for other people, too. So please keep those in mind. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Graham. McLean Tiffany and Justina Starzinski.
Hello, my name is McLean Tiffany, 2940 Juneau Douglas Highway. I am a young person here in town with a girlfriend and looking to find recreational activities on the weekend. I think as someone from my age group, the pool represents a really healthy alternative, and I just hope that the assembly here has taken due time to consider that with some of the other options here in town, closing this facility might well decrease the youth's involvement in healthy activities, and the long-term effects and costs of such are already quite significant. I believe the Empire in 2010 reported that although it is statewide, drugs and alcohol cost the state approximately $1.2 billion. So I'm just here as a member of the Juneau Youth in support of the pool in hopes that the Assembly will realize its long-term benefit. And in closing, would like to suggest potentially some promotional materials for the pool. If people knew that there was a climbing wall, if people knew that there was a sauna, if people knew that there was weight equipment, it might make a real difference to people of my age group who otherwise are choosing Habit, JRC, and starting young families. These are all more expensive options. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Justina Starzinski. After him will be Representative Sam Quito.
Good evening. My name is Justina Starzinski. I live at 9130 North Douglas Highway. I'm here speaking for myself, my sister, and an elder friend of mine who are all pool users. I swim 5 days per week at the downtown pool. 3 of those days I swim with my sister. My sister is on disability and experiences such terrible arthritis pain. She has most She has lost much of her mobility. Her doctor says the only thing that can help her is exercise, but the only exercise she can do physically is in the pool. The same goes for my elder friend who is in the same situation. The only exercise that she can get is through using the pool. I'm a single mother working two part-time jobs. Many of us in Juneau have very limited resources of money, reliable transportation, and time. I can afford a monthly pool pass. My sister struggles to be able to afford a monthly pool pass. However, neither of us would be able to afford a gym pass. I'm very grateful for a beautiful valley pool. I am, however, deeply concerned about the expense of building a new library, and this is coming from an educator. And I also am concerned that a new low-income development is being built on Douglas, which will add to both of our downtown school populations and will bring more people in who would be using the downtown pool as a resource. Yet, we are talking about reducing services for those of us in town who are low-income and who have low mobility. I'd like you to consider the voices of those that you may not be hearing, those people who are low income and may not be speaking publicly. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Starzynski. We appreciate your testimony. Representative Keto, and I'm going to take a minute of his time, so he's only got a minute. I just want to say, Sam, I really truly appreciate you stepping up to the plate, up at the Hill. And the good things that you're doing up there, we all here truly appreciate that. But you have more important things to talk about, I'm sure.
Today, yes. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly. I'm actually here today as a parent of a GSE swimmer, as a GSE swimmer myself, and on the board of direction for GSE. I would like to associate my remarks or myself with the remarks of the other GSC people who have testified. A couple of the things I would just like to say: when I first moved here in 1991, I was very impressed with the attention people in Juneau had to the quality of life, that people in Juneau were not afraid to pay property taxes or sales taxes, to have services provided for recreation, health, safety, things that increase the quality of life for us living in Juneau. And I, as a property owner, as somebody who's lived here a long time and not afraid to pay additional taxes to see that those services continue. I'm afraid that if the pool closes, that we may have a situation where we might end up having to demolish the pool, and then we don't have more facilities downtown. I mean, I think other people have talked about having facilities in the downtown area that help revitalize activities downtown, and I do appreciate having the Valley Pool. I'd use the downtown pool 2 to 3 times a week. I use the Valley Pool once a week. Because of my schedule, if the downtown pool is not available, I would still use the Valley Pool once a week, but I would not be able to use it the other 2 or 3 times that I would try. So those are my comments. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Keto. Marjorie Hamburger. And then we'll go back up to Kathleen Larson or Jensen, maybe. Thank you, ma'am.
Hi, my name is Margie Hamburger. I live at 215 Gastineau Avenue, just right here. I live downtown. I work downtown. My kids go to school downtown. My kids use a pool downtown. I'm also a person who is directly affected by these budget cuts because I work at the city museum, and it is my job that is being reduced to 3/4 time, at least on the chopping block to do so, and I understand that. But I'm worried. I'm worried because part of my job serves tourism and brings in income to our city, and a great bit of my job serves the public and does not bring as much income to the city, but provides a tremendous service to students and to community members. So part of this reduction worries me that we're going to put more emphasis on what brings in revenue and doesn't bring in quality of life for the people who live here. So I'm hoping that my reduction in my job can be left to be decided by the director and the division head so that we continue to have a vital arts community in our town as best we can, and we can also keep the downtown area vibrant. I'm also a pool user. My kids have been in the swim club. One thing I'll say in addition to what's all been said here tonight is I'm concerned about the high school. The high school swim program is also part of their PE program. The PE program has been severely cut at both our high schools, as many of the other programs have. And swimming is only one of just a couple of choices right now for PE for high school students. Those students who are disabled have no other choice. So are we going to ship them all out to the Valley School? I guess that's what we would do. And so that concerns me. And also the swim teams concern me. Are we going to make, I guess, in summation, having a greater split between the Valley residents and the Valley schools, and the downtown residents and the downtown schools concerns me greatly, that we favor one over the other, or seem so. So those are my comments. Thank you.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Kathleen Jensen.
Hi, I'm Kathleen Jensen. I live at 2 miles South Douglas Island. I'm a member of yet another user group for the downtown pool, and that's those of us in physical therapy. You see people with braces on various parts of their anatomy, coming in limping, running, skiing. Those are not options for us. I've been in and out of physical therapy for 20 years. Swimming was the number one recommended activity to help me rebuild damage or recover from surgeries. My neurosurgeon that has done all three surgeries on my spine, that was his number one recommendation. So here's another user group that this downtown pool is very critical for. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Let's see here. Chris Kentz. And then Patricia Mesinger. Go ahead, sir.
Chris Krenz, 5018 Pond Vista Drive. Thank you very much for this opportunity. I'm here to talk about the mill rate and the pool. Please raise my mill rates. There's a lot of services we get, and as a pool user, I'd very much rather have those services than not, and I'm quite willing to pay extra for that. Thank you. I'm a master swimmer and a fitness swimmer. I'm part of Glacier Swim Club as well. Before, there's two pools. There was a marginal program available for master swimming. It wasn't until there was two pools that there was enough room and enough time to expand that program and actually have a real program where there's actual meets and we get to actually compete and really, you know, strive to do something more and you know, push ourselves and have that competition. And that was directly to the fact that we had two pools. And so if you close Augustus Brown Pool, we'll no longer be able to do that, in my view. I don't think there's enough time to go around. There's better ways to raise money than mothballing the pool. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Did I say your name?
It's Morgan.
Morgan, see?
I hope there's no Patricia Messenger. Patricia Morgan, hi. Thank you for having us come to speak or allowing us to speak. I run this fourth grade swim program, or the Learn to Swim program for the school district. And much of what I've wanted to say has already been said, but I want to just add a few more comments. I talked to Petersburg Pool, Ketchikan Pool, and Sitka Pools, and they have, in Petersburg, they have a week of swimming and a week of PE year-round. Now, the state gave the school district, it's my understanding, the state gave the school district $5.2 million for the new pool in exchange that water safety would be taught, or swimming would be taught. And for, I believe, all ages, K through 8 at least. Petersburg teaches a week on, week off, of week PE, week of swimming. Ketchikan does much the same, and so does Sitka. I have watched a young man drown in Haines, and it was the worst day of my life. I just want to emphasize that the kids I see even now in the fourth grade swimming program, many of them are overweight, they don't know how to swim. A good, I would say 70% of those kids do not know how to swim. They need to learn to swim. We live around water. It's not just a recreational thing. It's a safety issue. And I can't emphasize enough that those kids learn to swim within the 2 weeks we have them. And so thank you.
Thank you,
Keep
ma'am.
The pool open.
Thank you, ma'am. And the last one on the list is Ms. Longworth.
Good evening.
I'm Maureen Longworth, MD, and I live at 3099 Noel Avenue in Juneau. And in terms of the health effects of having a pool downtown that's easily accessible to all people, disabled, seniors, and children, and all age groups, is really priceless health-wise. And I don't think I need to spell it out for you. Recently, 18 months ago, I became disabled. And currently, this pool is like my lifeline. And I'll tell you, if this pool was closed, I would have to move away from Juneau, because it's what I do every day. It's mental, it's physical, and it's strengthening injuries that I incurred 18 months ago that, for me, cause pain with any other exercise I do. And I mean it. I would have to move away. And I love Juneau. So please don't take our pool away. I can't believe I'm the only one that's going to come up here and cry. Anyway, I also wanted to put in a pitch for the bus. You know, I'm a big bus user. I believe that everyone should have transit availability, and I would use it even to go to evening events if there was a bus that would come home after, you know. But I think we really need to save energy in Juneau and be using alternative types of energy and transportation. And I say, make the pool solar, and let's maybe get energy going to the whole downtown area, all coming from the pool.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Longworth. And that is the last person on the sign-up sheets. So we will move forward to the individual ordinances. I'll close public comment for now. And we'll move forward to Ordinance 2014-23 and ask for assembly either comments or action.
24.
I'm sorry. 24. Yes, I'm one above. 2014-24.
Mayor.
Yes, Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the assembly refer ordinance 2014-24 to the Finance Committee for more work.
I need you all to be quiet because we're still trying to conduct business here. Thank you very much. Mr. Keel has moved Ordinance 2014-24 to the Finance Committee. Are there any objections? Seeing or hearing none, so ordered. Ordinance 2014-25. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we forward Ordinance 2014-25 to the Finance Committee for further review.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. Is there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Ordinance 2426. Mr. Wanamaker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move Ordinance 2014-26 and be referred to the Finance Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Are there any objections? Seeing or hearing none, so ordered. Unfinished business, Madam Manager.
None, thank you.
New business, we have two. Madam Manager.
So I'll turn it over to Madam Attorney.
On March 20th, 2014, the Planning Commission issued a final decision denying an appeal filed by Mr. Yankee in the regarding the construction of a fence and a no-build structure setback. Mr. Yankee filed a timely notice of appeal. The appellant, the homeowner whose fence is at the center of this dispute, and the Planning Commission have been apprised of this matter. The notice of the appeal and the notice of decision are in your packet. The Assembly is the appeal agency for this decision, and its actions throughout the appeal process are governed by CBJ 0150. The code requires that upon receiving an appeal, you first decide whether to accept or reject it. The standards applicable to that decision are set out in 0150-030. You must liberally construe the notice of the appeal in order to preserve the rights of the appellant. If, after doing so, you find that there has been a failure to comply with the appellate rules, or if the notice of appeal does not state grounds upon which any of the relief requested may be granted, you may reject the appeal. If you decide to accept the appeal, you must decide whether the Assembly will hear the appeal itself or assign it to a hearing officer. If you decide to hear it yourselves, you will be sitting in your quasi-judicial capacity and must avoid discussing the case outside the hearing process. Additionally, you would be required to comply with Section 0150-230 on impartiality. A memo from the Law Department on the issue of standing has been included in your packet. Because Mr. Yankee is not an aggrieved person with respect to this case as defined by law, he does not have standing to bring this appeal, and for that reason, you may properly deny or decide not to hear it.
Question, comment, Ms. Green?
I would move that the Assembly decline to accept the appeal.
Are there any objections to that? Hearing none and seeing none, so ordered. Airport rates and fees. Any questions on that from anybody?
Orders of the day.
Orders of the day. Thank you, Mr. Nankervis. Orders of the day. And then C, donation of JPD ambulance to City of Angoon. Madam Manager?
Yes. The police department has a 1995 old ambulance that they inherited from CCFR that they use for their bomb unit. They are no longer needing to use that. They have a newer ambulance from CCFR, and they would like to move this piece of equipment to the City of Angoon. They have requested it. Because it's over $3,000, I need a resolution to move forward with that donation to the City of Angoon. So I'm asking you for direction to go ahead and draft that resolution for the next Assembly meeting.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Mr. Wanamaker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the Assembly ask the City Manager to prepare a resolution authorizing the transfer of the ambulance to this community of Angoon.
Are there any objections? So ordered. Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Next, staff reports on airport supplemental for passenger loading bridge. Madam Manager?
Yes. Per the code, I'm informing you that I have approved a supplemental agreement for the airport that will allow them to be able to put a passenger loading bridge in, which is needed for Delta. We will be working with CECON to be able to do that. Work. CECON is already a contractor at the airport, I've reviewed the information that's been brought forward. I believe it's in the best interest of the city to move forward with this. Reviewed both the particular past contract with CECON as well as the other savings that we would have by doing this supplemental directly with them. The cost for this supplemental will be less than the $250,000 required or noted in city code.
And do you need our recommendation to go forward with
it? Not at this point. It's just information to let you know that I have approved this to move forward.
Is there any discussion on this item, Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I probably missed it in the memo. Source of the funds for the supplemental work?
Actually, I'll look at the airport manager.
Thank you. We're going to forward fund this with a revolving account, but it will be reimbursed with FAA entitlement funds in FY14. They're FY14, so July.
Interesting follow-up.
Go ahead.
What's the approval timeline from FAA for those entitlement funds?
Well, we actually have a written approval from them. We would have to finish up by filing the grant for this and then get reimbursed through our entitlements.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Any other questions on this item? Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Labrie. Anything else, Madam Manager, on that?
No, thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on to Assembly reports. The Mayor's report. Did I tell you all that I met with a counselor from Whitehorse last weekend? Oh, Mr. Stricker and his wife and family were here looking at buying a boat in our fair community and to go sailing. He wants to, but the other three people in the party were kind of leery. But we did meet with him here in the assembly chambers for an hour. He gave us a beautiful book from their mayor on the city of Whitehorse. And we talked and chatted for 45 minutes to an hour, and it's a very needed interchange of sister cities that we need to try to get to this year and get up there and meet with them and visit with them. It's very important that we do, and I know that budgets are tight, but I can see that there's a lot of things to go back and forth economic development-wise and everything that could affect both of our communities in a good way, in a positive way. And so we need to really think about this later on in the summer and see what we can do to meet that sister city commitment that we have between us. Question, Ms. Green?
Just a comment. Their housing shortage is about as bad as ours, and that might be a good discussion with them to see what options they're looking at, maybe something there that we haven't thought about. Mm-hmm.
Anything else on that topic? I also met over this weekend with Mr. Keel and Senator Egan and a number of other people with two people from the Arctic Council and from the federal government level, and they were here to evaluate our community and the possibility of having and bringing to town next year a 250-person get to there. Convention is the word I'm looking for, right, Mr. Keel? And we had a very good discussion over breakfast at the Baranoff, and I think that they were impressed. They were going to go out and do some more looking around at our community, and that 250 mark for a convention in Juneau is a really good size for us. We don't overburden our businesses, and there's a lot of things to do for that size of a convention. So, Mr. Keel, if you have any follow-up to that.
Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just I agree that it was an excellent meeting. The two representatives from the U.S. State Department work with the senior Arctic policy folks. The United States of America will chair the Arctic Council for the next 2 years and host four meetings. They were looking at Juneau for one of those four. And we had the opportunity to talk about Juneau as the headquarters of the 17th Coast Guard District, which I'm not sure they had been aware of, to talk about our facilities for the meeting. They also talked about the importance, because the Arctic Council has indigenous peoples groups as full participants, the importance of indigenous culture and presentations or artistic and cultural exchange as part of their meetings, and that was something that we were able to brag about tremendously here in the capital city. So fingers crossed that one of those four meetings will be held here.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Any questions on that? This morning I welcomed 40 people from the Alaska Association of Fire and Arson Investigators. They're here at JPD doing classroom and field work, learning how to learning how to blow things up, but learning how to identify and investigate those explosions and also to investigate fires. There was about 40 of them in town, and they were kind of excited to be here. They weren't so excited about being here and sitting in a classroom during such a nice day, but it seems like that's the way firefighter training usually goes and most other training. So they're very enthusiastic about being here, and we're excited. Are there any questions about that? We'll move on to committee reports. Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Our committee of the whole met April 14th. We heard from Jim Calvin of the Dell Group, gave us an update on the economic plan, and will come back to see us again in June. We had some members of our housing group who we worked with before in our housing committee. They came and shared information about the last building season, how things were working with permitting. They're very positive about that, and gave us general information about the housing situation, what kind of houses we need, and suggestions for improvements in various parts of our matrix. We also talked about the matrix. The work that's being done was explained. There was agreement with the Housing Committee that a peer evaluation group would be a good idea, and there are going to be some comments shared and requested from the builders. We received a FEMA update, found out that over 60 housing units have been removed from the flood zone. The LIDAR data was approved for use by FEMA. We approved sending letters to the House and the Senate concerning the governor's recommendation for putting money, the $3 billion, into the retirement system, and that was done. So we did send a letter to them. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. Mr. Wanamaker, Lands, or Public Works.
Thank you. The Public Works and Facilities Committee will meet. I believe the next meeting is May 5th. I don't have the agenda yet. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Mr. Keel, Human Resources.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This evening's Human Resources Committee meeting was canceled, so we have not met since our last assembly meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Ms. Crane, Finance.
There will be a Finance Committee meeting on Wednesday evening, and your packets were passed out this evening, so you have them.
Thank you, Ms. Crane. Mr. Carlton Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. No report for Lance. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Jones, how about liaison reports?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Downtown Business Association is having its annual meeting on May 7th from 5 to 6, and then they are having a, I'm not sure exactly how to describe it because my notes weren't all that great, but they are pulling together from all the businesses downtown, employees from those businesses, taking them on a walk through other businesses to show them what other businesses have. There's a treasure hunt involved. There's a swag bag, so they pick up things from each of those businesses that they can take, and they're going to end up at Tracy's Crab Shack for a meal so that employees of all the businesses downtown sort of get a feel for what all the other businesses are doing, getting ready to be good ambassadors when tourists ask where to go to get this or that. It's a fascinating thing. It's their first year, and they're looking forward to that. Also, the sidewalk and street vendor ordinance that we referred back for some review, I did provide that to them. I think Carlton suggested that they've turned that over to committee, and they're going to take a look at that, and we'll try to provide us some feedback and to the city manager before that ordinance comes back before us. Docks and Harbors, it's going to sound more like a calendar, but May 3rd, Blessing of the Fleet, I think it's at 10 o'clock in the morning. On May 9th, there's going to be a ribbon cutting for the cruise ship staging area completion. It will also involve Rory Watts Engineering Department because of the Seawalk expansion that they have been working on. That's at 11 o'clock on May 9th, and I think you've all been invited to there. On May 10th, Docks and Harbors Board in the morning is going to have a strategic planning committee meeting, or strategic planning meeting, and also that's the same day that the Maritime Festival is on downtown from 11 to 5 on May 10th, and on May 12th, the 65% design review for the boat ramp out at Stater Harbor will be done, and it will be presented to the Ock Bay Planning Group that evening at the University of Alaska Southeast. I think it's room 222. The other thing that was discussed at the board meeting was a presentation by ALNP. Requesting the Docks and Harbors look at putting a charging station for electric vehicles at the Douglas Harbor. There were a lot of questions about sort of, you know, who owns the machines, who's responsible for paying the electric bill and things like that. But it was also mentioned there that some agreement or an agreement was being worked out with the city to put one in one of the parking garages. So I suggested that maybe Docks and Harbors and whoever did that with the city need to get together and figure that out, because I think Savico Park area, Douglas Harbor, is a good place for a charging station, whether it's on Harbor Project or other city property or whatever, I don't know. But that was a fairly interesting discussion about the typical chicken and the egg. You know, we don't have too many vehicles, but maybe if we have the charging stations, we'll attract more vehicles. So it was a pretty interesting board meeting, but that's my two liaison reports. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. And a reminder, on the 9th, it's a CWOC at 11. And if any at 11, and if any of you wish to come down to the cemetery, we're going to have an Arbor Day proclamation down there. So that's Arbor Day, too, at noon. So if any of you wish to come down there and be part of that with a group of kids, you're welcome to be there with me. Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Two groups to report on. Planning Commission, and I have somebody here. Please correct me if I get something wrong. And Airport Board, two. I have two peoples here. And Airport Board, Patty just disappeared, so she can't correct me. That was the one I had a whole lot of report on. Planning Commission met last Tuesday, shortest meeting I've been to yet. I think it was 45 minutes, and we were out. They are set to meet, I believe, May 8th. I am not sure about the time. Dennis, what's the time? Six to hear the tower ordinance. I believe they'll have a draft to look at, and then after they look at it and mark it up or say whatever they're going to do, it will come to us. That's the biggie on their horizon. The airport board rates in what?
I'm sorry.
The 8th.
I'll ask afterwards.
The airport board rates and fees, we just saw those. An update on the food and beverage concession, and I wasn't at that meeting. I was here with finance, so hopefully I get this right. The minutes are online pretty soon. I've looked at the draft version. They had one solicitation received, but no business plan for that solicitation for concessionaire. So the negotiations were stopped. Several promptings to get a business plan, never got that, so the negotiations stopped. The airport is able to negotiate with someone after they spoke with law and purchasing. They are able to negotiate with someone who is interested, and a partner has been found, and they're going. And that person or group is going through the process for permits, etc., and the negotiations are continuing with this. I don't know if it's a person or a group. I have a name here. And they are hoping to continue the food service May 1st and the liquor license service or alcohol service, but there is a possibility for an interruption in the liquor license service. And I don't have much more than that. I chopped up the two paragraphs I had from that. You heard an update on the jetway replacement and, important to us all, new baggage screening machine. They are hoping to have in the airport in place by May 22nd. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nankervis. And Madam Clerk, Mr. Nankervis reminded me of another meeting that you're trying to put together for the Planning Commission and the Assembly. And that's on what day?
I believe we're looking at May 20th.
And we may not need that meeting. Okay. So if you get the information back to Di and let her know for sure, but we're not sure that we're going to need that, depending upon the meeting that the Planning Commission has and depending upon the Committee of the Whole meeting next Monday.
Okay. We'll follow up on that. If we need another meeting with the Planning Commission together, we will have it, and that'll probably be the day on the evening of the 20th, right?
Right.
Okay. So if you're not going to be available, it'd be nice of you to get a hold of, or if you are even, get a hold of Di, and she will tally us on who's available and who's not, okay? Ms. Troll?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've not been able to attend the Juneau Commission on Sustainability meetings because they conflict with the Finance Committee meetings, but I can report that they met with the McDowell Group and got a presentation from Jim Galvin and Barb Scheinberg, and I think got very engaged in the discussions on the economic development plan. And I don't know if Mr. Wanamaker wants to report on the NOAA Fisheries Committee, but we did meet, and I can.
Mr. Wanamaker, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I believe that it would be appropriate to have Ms. Troll continue that report because she was assigned some of the work.
Thank you, Ms. Troll. Go ahead.
Yes, we did have a meeting, and it was our first meeting with Mr. Jeep Rice, who is a retired NOAA facility, retired NOAA biologist, and he is real engaged and has lots of insights and numbers for us to contribute. We were also joined by Mr. Bob King from Senator Begich's office. So everybody around the table felt very encouraged that what we're trying to do is keep not only keep a promise that was made, but that there are certain efficiencies to be gained from their NOAA's perspective. So we will be drafting a letter of inquiry through a committee approach at our next meeting, and we will be including City of Kodiak, City of Ketchikan, and hopefully City of Anchorage. We've not reached out to Sitka just because the majority of the potential job relocations end up in these three major municipalities.
I would just say because I talked with the mayor over there about it.
We will add Sitka to the list.
So if you would please add Sitka to the list just to get their input would be very nice.
Yeah, what we're doing is inviting them to call in our in our meetings.
Good. Very good. Thank you, Mr. Roll. Mr. Smith?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Juneau and Convention and Visitors Bureau hosted a dinner Saturday night for that same group of folks, the State Department officials with the Arctic Council. I just have to state that they didn't mention anything at all about your breakfast. But we had a nice evening. The competition is obviously pretty rigorous for this convention coming up. These folks were very tired because they'd spent the entire day touring here in Juneau. They had an early departure, and while it's difficult to predict who's going to get selected, I think Juneau's got a good chance at it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Ms. Crane?
The Bartlett Hospital Board met last Tuesday. The majority of the meeting was taken up with discussion of the budget for FY15. I did report also to the city manager that the board needs a better understanding of how the marine passenger fees are determined. The request for fees that the hospital submitted, what they were awarded was reduced, and so there just needs to be some discussion there about how that happens.
Probably sometime after our budget cycle. Yes, we will do that. Mr. Keel. Thank you, Ms. Green.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Affordable Housing Commission next meets on the 6th of May. The school board is meeting tonight in a special meeting to talk about their budget. I am not there as I am here, but they'll have another one tomorrow, and so I will join them there. I would also note that at the breakfast you and I had with the State Department officials, they talked about all kinds of things they were looking forward to during the day and didn't mention dinner with Mr. Smith.
Nothing.
Not once. I can't figure that out. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
It was a secret location.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Mr. Wanamaker?
Thank you. The Juneau Economic Development Council has not met since our last regular meeting, so I have no report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Alaska Committee met on April 4th. We did some planning about the state fairs. The Palmer one will be late August, early September, and the Fairbanks one will be mid-August, probably. And we generally send people up either from the Visitors Convention Center or from Alaska Committee to help man those booths, and it is really a great event, and other people are invited, too. So if you're interested, check with me or someone else, like Wayne Jensen is our chair of that committee. We discussed next year's budget, and it's on the agenda for the finance meeting, what the budget is that we're submitting. And we're going to have a retreat June, probably. We haven't determined. I met today with BAM, the advisory committee that does the after-school program. They told us that there are about 290 students involved in the program from Floyd Dryden and Saltukahini. Their budget is about $80,000, and they are appreciative to the assembly for the money that we give them, of course, and would like it to continue. They discussed a lot of funding ideas, discuss the activities. We want to encourage more parents to take part, and they're going to start a BAM student advisory committee. I heard today about more about Southeast Conference and the Lemonade Day, and that is to help young people become entrepreneurs, know how to run a small business. And I believe there's activities in May and June, I think. So a lot of opportunity for kids to have take part in Lemonade Day and become business people for our future, their future needs in our community, hopefully.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. Appreciate it. Thank you all. I just from our regular duties and now to listen to you in liaison reports, there's lots of stuff going on and lots of things happening. And I personally just like to say thank you to all of you because I know you're putting in the extra mile. And that's good for our community and for us and our knowledge. So we can finish up with presiding officer reports. Mr. Jones?
Yes, Landscape Alaska is proceeding. We ruled on a motion today. I think the record has been submitted. I think there's a motion to supplement the record that we're going to have to deal with, but basically we're on schedule that we had set at the pre-hearing conference.
Thank you. Who else do we have? Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In the Vic, the Animal Hearing Board appeal, we have passed our dates here for motions on and to supplement the record and our opposition. And we'll have a ruling coming on those. We remain on schedule. Briefs start with the appellant's brief on June 6th as we hurtle along towards our hearing on July the 21st.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Keel, any other that I missed? Do we have any other outstanding ones?
We have one that's with
the
hearing officer.
John. Oh, right. Okay, yeah. She's forgot all about that one, too. Anything else, Ms. Mead?
None other.
Okay, thank you very much. Assembly comments and questions. Mr. Jones.
Thank you. One thing that I failed to mention under liaison reports, also the Downtown Business Association, along with, I think, the Visitors Association and JEDC, have basically developed an online map that if a tourist using an iPhone or an iPad, you know, were to, I think it's type in Juneau Downtown Map or something like that, and then you can select whether you're looking for restaurants or hotels or stores, and then it brings up the map and a little icon in the various places for the people that are listed there that fit that particular criteria. And I had it all down to Pat when I was sitting there at the meeting, and now I can't figure out how to get to it. So I will learn better. May 20th, I will be finishing up AML meeting in Anchorage and catching a plane. So if there's an hour or so in between, I could do a phone call. Otherwise, I'm not available. Last evening, I went to the fundraiser for the Glory Hole, the Empty Bowls at Centennial Hall. Hard to find a place to park. I showed up about 45 minutes late, still had to wait in line a little bit to buy a ticket. And it was just another example of this community coming together. The Rotarians were there serving, guiding people around, greeting people at the door. Very fun event. And just my last comment is that I'd like to thank everybody that came and testified. Very appreciated by me, despite all the emails that we've been getting and being caught and talked to on the street and all that kind of stuff. It was very good to have people actually come and express their opinions. And hopefully I took good enough notes I can remember it as we discuss it a couple weeks from now.
Thank you, Mr. Jones.
Thank you.
Mr. Nankervis?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, to tie in with what Mr. Jones just said, I agree. We had a big diversity of opinion tonight, but compared to last year's meetings on the budget, I think we had more here tonight than we had on all of the meetings last year on all of the budget items, and that was great to see, and I appreciate everybody coming down to talk tonight. The Chiefs in the back there, Friday, May 9th, Police Memorial Service, Thunder Mountain High School Commons, 5:30, and I'm sure they'll do a great job like always. 5:30 Friday, May 9th.
And lastly, none of these are related because that's how my mind works. This one's for staff. The Fisheries Committee, Commission, I forget which one it's called. It's committee?
It's a committee.
Committee had asked to for the Assembly to support, I'm going to call it a roadside fishery on Channel Drive there. We haven't really done anything on that. But as I drove by and looked at the old Channel Marina vacant lot and the road there, I see it's posted, no parking. And I'm fairly certain that has to do with getting a fire truck down to the fire hydrant at the end of that street. If my thought is if we're going to promote some roadside fisheries or some development, even whether we do anything with that land there or not, to promote that fisheries, maybe we ought to address that parking issue and allow them to park. Because I'm not certain, but most all the fire trucks I've seen have reverse. And if they get stuck down there, just like Gastineau Avenue, you can back up. Because every fire truck has two or three people with it, usually, if they're going somewhere. But if it's routine hydrant service or something like that, you could post it, no parking at the end of the street. But to me, looking at that road, it makes no sense for a dead-end road to have no parking on it. We have ordinances in place for abandoned vehicles, and we can deal with those if they're sitting there too long. But if we want to encourage some roadside fisheries, I think that is a great place. They've pushed that as a location, and to me it just makes no sense not to have parking there to allow them to do that. I'd like us to look at that anyway.
Okay, and is that in the cul-de-sac itself, or is it back on the road?
Yes.
Where the private property is?
Yes. It appears when you look at it, all of it.
Okay.
So
we'll look at
it. I will look into it.
Thank you.
Also, on the 8th, up at the cemetery is the new, is it noon, Chief?
Yes.
For those of us that go to the cemetery, if any of you wish to go to the cemetery for the memorial and not go out to the other big one, you're welcome to come there too. So some of us go there for our own reasons. Ms. Troll.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to publicly acknowledge the contribution of leadership that Governor Parnell provided in securing the $3 billion payment toward the TERS and the PERS. I certainly have been known to be critical of the governor, but in this case, I really want to applaud his leadership because I don't think it would have happened without it. And if the mayor or somebody else would like to draft a letter to that effect, I know we passed a letter encouraging that. I think it would be appropriate for us to follow up and acknowledge his outstanding leadership on this bill. With Representative...
Crow, if you would just remember
with
AML.
AML and tie it in with that,
yeah.
Whatever. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. With Representative Keto here, I'd like to acknowledge his participation in trying to craft together the education funding. It was very heartening to see that the burden didn't get all shifted onto local government, and I really appreciate your hard work on making that happen. I am a swimmer at the pool, and I do go to the sauna, but I learned more about the swimming pool in the last couple weeks than I have in the 15-plus years I've been swimming there. And I really appreciate the public coming out, and particularly the young people. It was really encouraging to see what the pool means to them and to their lifestyles and all that. So I really applaud the effort tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Earl. Mr. Smith?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I, too, was gratified by seeing the participation level here tonight. And we are here to make the difficult decisions, and I'm looking forward to the continuing work on these three ordinances in finance. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Green?
I have a question for the attorney. Has anything happened on the Holman case?
We've requested a ruling from the court.
And we still don't have it?
No.
Thank you.
Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Starting with, I guess, Mr. Nankervis's point, I remember the Fisheries Development Committee talking with us about specifically the problem of the parking. And my memory is that there are agreements with the state DOT about that area along Channel Drive. But they certainly expressed an interest in looking into and working on that. And so I'd be happy to schedule a conversation with the Fisheries Development Committee at the Human Resources Committee so we can talk with them.
Yeah, Mr. Fisk left. He was just sitting there. He's on the committee. I thought we could turn to him as well. Thank you.
And if we're doing land stuff, then weren't they asking about land? We own some land at the end of the cul-de-sac. And so if it's land stuff, let's get it to Mr. Smith's committee and lands and see what they come up with it from land's perspective also. One or the other, it doesn't matter to me. But
be happy to work with the chairman, and we can facilitate sure. whichever meeting works.
Thank you, Mr. Kipp.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. had the pleasure and the privilege of going out to Airlift Northwest on Wednesday, I think it was the 23rd, where the governor signed a bill that enabled them to continue their membership program because of a fairly obscure change back in Washington State. They suddenly had to be regulated as insurance, and so Representative Munoz and Senator Stedman introduced a bill that would allow them to continue to operate as a nonprofit membership program. And that bill is now in effect. I know that that's an important part of keeping our community healthy and safe when someone needs care beyond the scope of what we can offer at Bartlett. And so I was pleased to be there, and I thank the legislators for that and for then the governor for his signature. I also had the pleasure of attending the Southeast Regional Resource Center, CERC's annual partner meeting. And I got to mostly listen while some of CERC's partners in adult basic education and job placement for young people talked with them about the job they were doing and their successes and opportunities. One of the remarkable things, I know a lot of folks have heard about the change in the GED test for those folks getting a high school equivalency diploma. That change is now in effect. In the time before that, change went into effect, folks were hurrying, who'd started a GED program, were hurrying to finish it before the whole thing changed over and they had to start over. And during the last 6 months, CERC and its partners awarded as many GEDs as they normally do in more than a year. The community of both employees and volunteers who teach adult basic ed and help folks get back on their feet or move their lives forward in this community and around the state came together in remarkable ways. And I applaud tremendous successes from CERC and especially from the folks who earned those GEDs. So that was a real strong point in our community. I'd also like to let folks know that on May the 4th, which is, I believe, a Sunday, the University of Alaska Southeast will have its graduation. And I think all of us on the Assembly got an invitation to that. Another great opportunity for folks to improve their prospects here in our community and in our region. And finally, let me just echo the comments that some others have made before me. It was heartening and fascinating to hear from so many members of the community tonight. I have no ability to predict what will bring people out to testify to us. But it's a wonderful thing when members of the community come out and tell our government just what they think we ought to be doing, or in some cases, not doing. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Mr. Wanamaker.
No comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to also agree with the really wonderful way the public came out tonight. I'll just add one other thing. I was especially impressed that they were all prepared. Everyone was prepared. They did not just talk off the cuff. It was really thoughtful testimony. And they obeyed the light, which is quite unusual for so many people. So I just really want to thank them. And I will bring the information to the chair of the Fisheries Committee that there's interest. I do think that I did hear that there were some concerns about that location, but now that there's such interest, I will mention it to them and ask
that he bring it up in the next fishery meeting so that he can give a report to us and let us know. And there is another place they are also looking at on North Douglas Highway. And there's really a lot of interest in getting a roadside fishery wherever it is. So on his behalf, thank you for your interest, too.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. Mr. Keel, you said the Affordable Housing Group had talked about something, and then that reminded me and keyed into, I think they sent me a memo here about a month ago to talk about tax deferral, which went through last year at the state, and they want to try to get that changed to a tax abatement. Maybe we need to have the Affordable Housing Group go through lands and then bring it back through to the Assembly to get that on our representatives and senators' agenda to change for next year, if at all possible.
I'd be happy to coordinate that, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. Is there any objections to the lands looking at that from the Assembly members? Thank you very much. That's all I have, and we'll move forward to continuation of public participation on non-agenda items. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to speak to us again about non-agenda items? Seeing none, we'll move forward. We need to go, and we will go into executive session to discuss the APARC negotiations report. So,
could we have a break?
We can have a five-minute break while we clear everybody out. Thank you all very much for coming.
I go to the bathroom.
You've been listening to the regular meeting of the City and Borough of Juneau Assembly live from City Hall. In just a few moments, we will return to regular programming.